The Profit Constructors presents Construction Junction, the junction between accounting and construction. Please welcome our host, Tanya Schulte.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tanya Schulte. Welcome back to this edition of the Construction Junction podcast. If you have been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that I'm pretty passionate about subcontractors and the space in which they land as far as how they take on a lot of risk and how better ways that we can help them mitigate that risk. There's so many ways. I mean, if we think about it from an accounting standpoint, one of the things that we are consistently counseling our subcontractor clients on is how can we build up the right kind of capital to be able to manage through some of those harder periods, right? Cash being everything that it is and how you need to have cash to have a business run. One of the things that we talk about all the time is let's make sure that we have a good line of credit available. Let's make sure that we have cash on hand for in the event that that is necessary. You know, we have to make payroll, we have to buy materials, all those types of things. And we're going to be talking more about that in our podcast later today as when our guest joins us. But from the accounting standpoint, which is really where I come from, I'm all about helping clients really mitigate that risk. You know, we use a lot of tools on the accounting side of things. So again, we help you with a cash management system where you're basically like putting money aside in envelopes. Basically, it's like the Dave Ramsey system on steroids. And some of that can really help. A lot of our clients will often tease and call it the internal line of credit. So we love to help the subcontractor clients that we work with mitigate that type of thing, that if something goes wrong and you're not being paid and you need to go and dispute that and take care of that, you'll have the cash, the funds, the finances, and the ability to continue moving your business forward when something goes wrong. But let's think about what's better than doing that. Well, what would be even better than that would be mitigating as much risk as possible. Now, any lawyer will tell you, and I have some really good construction lawyer friends, some of them have been on this podcast, any lawyer will tell you, you can't mitigate all of the risk. That's just not possible, right? But what you can do is start thinking about what are better ways to handle contracts? What are better ways to handle the things that we are taking on? And if you start to think through those things up front, your business will be elevated. And so the guest that we're going to be talking to today has a really great solution for helping you do that, right? And really, if you think about it, what does everything boil down to in our society and in the way that we interact with one another? It's contracts, right? So much of what we do is on a contract basis. And in the construction world, everything comes down to that contract. And if we start at the very beginning of every project, just sort of blindly signing the dotted line on every contract, we're not really taking the time to think through how is each one of these contracts that I'm signing affecting my business? And what should I be thinking about when I go down that road? And what types of things am I not being protected on? Or am I just blindly signing away? So it's my advice to you to not do that. And I would love for you to stick around because you're going to hear from our expert that's about to show up in just a few minutes on how to get around doing that and how to do it in a way that does not going to cost you an arm and a leg, right? So let's talk about that. We'll come back in just a few minutes and we'll talk with my friend Kian. We'll be right back.
If you would like to share your company or product on the Construction Junction, email hello@theprofitconstructors.com to become a sponsor.
Welcome back to this next segment of the Construction Junction podcast. I am your host, Tanya Schulte. I'm here with Kian of Quantum. Kian, tell us a little bit about Quantum and what Quantum is. How did it get started?
Well, Quantum is an online company that helps construction subcontractors with their contracts. It helps them negotiate better contracts up front, and it helps them manage their contracts, all their paperwork, and give them access to experts. So before Quantum, you couldn't, you know, to get that level of expertise, you'd have to pay day rates or you'd have to employ someone internally and it would cost you a lot of money. Now you can get that information, you can get that access to, you know, doing all the letter writing and change orders and all of that stuff that most people don't want to do in their business. They'd rather just get on with the delivering the work on site. And yeah, we're experts at that.
Kian, I think, as you know, when you and I chatted before this, I sit on the local chapter board for our American Subcontractors Association. And this is a subject that's really near and dear to my heart because, as you have expressed to me, if we don't get the subcontract right, that's like the foundation of everything else, right? If it crumbles, tell us what could go wrong. I mean, what's at stake here?
5 to 15%.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it, right? And that's been shown many times over, you know, many different studies. And so what you, like, when you're in bed with a GC or main contractor, depending where you are in the world,
yeah,
that 5 to 15% is up for grabs. Someone's going to take that 5 to 15%. Is it going to be you as a subcontractor, or is it going to be the GC? Right, that's what the contracts is, because if you think about the contracts, it's the money side of construction. It sets up the set of rules about how risk is transferred and how money is transferred between parties. And what will happen is when you get a contract from a GC, you very rarely see standard contracts, an actual standard contract anymore, right? So the AIA, if you see that on its own, great. That's good.
Right.
But they're always amended, right? So they look like a standard contract, but they're actually not. Or they just have their own contract that's been written for lawyers. And what they've done is they've pushed all the risk onto you and made it so they can have better cash flow themselves, because GCs are, if you think about it again, are a finance company. They get a loan from the bank to finance a project. They win a project from a client, so they get paid from the clients, and they subcontract out all the work, and they get paid on the delta between the two. So the game that they're playing is about cash flow and margin. And so if they can withhold a lot of that and push the risk down to you, then they're going to do better. Now, the thing that a lot of people don't understand is when they give you their worst, they give you their worst contract to sign, that's the starting point. It's not the end point.
Yes.
And they're expecting you to negotiate. When you don't negotiate, they don't think that you're easy to deal with. They think you're green. And so what I always tell all of our clients is, think of the biggest subcontractor in your field, right? The biggest guy, the huge, like, you know, the $100 million company that's doing what you do. Do you think they don't negotiate their contracts? And they do. And they do aggressively.
Every time. And they know what they want the contract to say.
They know what they want the contract to say. And then, and that's the front end. And then the back end is managing the contract. So making sure that you're getting, like, if you get your changes approved and your delays approved, right, that's the main thing that you want to be getting approved. If you get those things approved quickly, you're good, right? But if it's the other way, right, first of all, if you miss a change or if you miss a delay or contractually, you miss it as well, you're time barred, you have a certain amount of time to respond and you don't do it, then you're just doing work for free, essentially, right? And you're taking on their delay as your delay. And so you're just eating that cost. That's where the 5 to 15% comes in.
Yep.
And so if you think about it as well, let's just take about an example of a change. And I think you'll be all over this as accountants. From a cash flow, cash flow kills companies. It's not, like, there's no big bang, right? People think, oh, you went out of business, it was just this big bang out of business. No, that's not how it works. What happens is your cash flow gets restricted, tighter. You can't pay your guys. You're living in this constant world of anxiety about, like, money coming in the door. Your financing cost goes up. You're bridging finance to be able to do it. And so if you look at the change, right? Let's just say you're on site and you're asked to do additional work, right? Which happens all the time. Or change what you're currently doing, which is also a change, which also costs you money. And so you do that work, and let's just go through an example where they do actually pay you, right? But you takes you ages to get that paperwork in, right? So you do month one, right? You do the work, and then towards the end of the month you get that change in, right? Okay, then they approve it. Then maybe, right, in the following month you get paid for it, right? So 60 days later. Right. And that's just because you're slow at it. That's not their problem. You're just slow at it.
Right.
That's hit your cash flow. You're 1 month behind on your cash flow. right? And these things really matter to a construction business. If you could do it quickly, like really quick, the change happens, you get your paperwork in, you get it approved really quickly, and then you get payment for it that month, it's going to make a massive difference to your business.
Yeah. It's huge. I actually just listened to some experts talking about like pay when paid and pay if paid clauses, which I'm sure you're very familiar with. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they were mentioning, and I just to kind of harken back to something you said a little bit earlier, kind of caught my ear. It used to be, if we look back at the history of like why the AIA even came into existence, the architects were taking on all of the risk, right? Mm-hmm. So what did they want to do? They wanted to transfer the risk to the GCs. And for a long time, there really was a lot of risk being taken by the GC. They were managing everything. And so it really just, everything flows downhill, right? Yeah. Who's at the end? Right now, it's the subcontractor.
I don't want to curse on this podcast, but you know, the proverbial flows downhill.
It's a construction podcast. You can say whatever you need to. And I'm the daughter of truck drivers, so yeah, it does.
Okay, well, the shift flows downhill, yes, right? Basically.
Yeah.
So that's it. But like, if you think about it, all the PwCs, Deloitte's, all of these Bains, all of these guys have come into big GCs and said, from a risk perspective, from a cash flow perspective, you need to do this, right? And you know, people think GCs are these big bad companies, and some of them are aggressive, right? But most of them are just playing the business game,
right?
And you, as a subcontractor, also need to play, because, and this is it, the game is being played whether you're not playing it, whether you decide to play it or not. If you decide, okay, I'm just not playing this, I'm not going to negotiate, I'm just going to rely on my relationships, which a lot of people do, well, basically you're playing the game. So you're not playing the game, but the playing's just, it's just happening, and right, you're just taking on the risk, and you're just eating it, basically.
You're playing the game, and you're playing it completely under someone else's rules with no say in what the rules of the game are. And you have some leeway to say what rules you would prefer to operate under. I love it. So tell us more about how, this is all really great background on like, why is this important, right? This is really fantastic. How does Quantum actually help with all of this?
So ultimately what we're talking about is the 5-15% more margin on each project and cash flow. That's the top line, right? So that's what everybody wants. And so a lot of construction subcontractors, if you think about where they've started from, right? And if you think about the person or the family, a lot of these guys are family businesses, right? Which is important to me. They started off as a one-man band, right? The person themselves was probably an excellent tradesperson, yes, right? Really good at the specific thing that they did. And because of that, they got a reputation for doing great work, right? And they grew. And then we get to the stage where you start getting bigger projects. And then it kind of turns over. Instead of being that small business, you become a medium-sized business. And it's that changeover of the people that you're playing and the game that you're playing that people miss. Right. And there's like, okay, and all of a sudden, it's not just these smaller projects. I'm working on bigger projects. Now all of these bigger projects have risk. And they don't learn the money side or the game of the construction, the business of construction. If they think about it, they're still, if they look at the departments that they have in their construction business, they are really only a delivery apartment. Right. I can deliver production. This project, production, whatever it is. Right. Yeah. But they're lacking a contracts department. They're lacking potentially also accountancy as well. And it's that evolution of the company that needs to grow. And so really how we help is people need people working under contracts. So they can outsource to a lawyer one at a time, which is ultimately, if you do that every single time, it's going to cost you a lot of money. Yeah. You could hire in. But then that lawyer won't do the post-award stuff. Right, which is different. So then you can hire internally, right? So the problem with hiring internally is you mightn't have it, there's a skill set involved. So you mightn't have the right skill set, you might have people that leave, all of that sort of stuff. And it's expensive. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we plug in to their company, we negotiate all their contracts for them. Right. Read through all the contracts, all of the hundreds and hundreds of pages of contracts. We highlight all the risks. We say, hey, here are all the risks, which is step one. And that's, this is what kind of where a lawyer would stop, right? Mm-hmm. But then because we've done over 5,000 of these, we have a framework that allows us to negotiate the best outcome. So we'll also prepare the negotiation document that clearly says, we don't agree to this. Here's why we don't agree to this. And here's what we want you to do instead. And we list them all down. And that's a skill set on its own that, because of our data set, we're able to do really well, because we know some stuff can't be negotiated, right? Yeah. So there might be some insurance provisions or certain parts of a GC's contract that we know for their own internal compliance that they will never negotiate, right? So you mightn't like that, and that's fair, but we know they won't negotiate it. So instead of trying to negotiate that thing, we won't. We'll go hard on the things that we know that they can negotiate that make the most difference to your bottom line and to your cash flow.
Yeah.
So that's the front end. And then the back end is all the paperwork that's involved with changes, delays, disputes. We'll do all of that. And you'll have access to experts. You'll have a weekly sync call with your team. And so we typically plug into project managers. So if you imagine, we kind of give project managers arms and legs. So they, if a project manager is on a project, we're hooking up with that guy and we're like, okay, whenever there's a change, whenever there's a delay, you let us know. We'll meet with them once a week. Whenever there's a dispute, before you get into the dispute, get on a call. We'll develop a strategy to get around this dispute, to avoid the dispute, and to get you paid.
Nice.
That's it in a nutshell.
I think it's a fantastic service. I think there's so much value in there. I'm going to dive in just a little bit deeper on a couple things. Earlier, you said, you know, change orders are a huge, huge thing, right? And I think it's mm-hmm. very important. There are so many, again, when you've reached that medium business stage, now you've started hiring a couple project managers. Maybe dad that started the company was project managing everything and he can't take it on anymore. And project managers really want to please their boss, the owner mm-hmm. of the company, and they really want to yes. please the GC. And so mm-hmm. when they're standing on the job site and the guy says, hey, can you get over there and get that done for me? It's going to delay the project by a week. If you don't walk over there right now and get it done, what does he want to do? He wants to walk over there and get it done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how do you guys interface with the project managers and help them sort of elevate what they're doing so that they can please everybody, but still keep the company from having so much risk on those change orders?
Yeah. So this is a problem with project managers, right? And so if you think about a project manager, right, and the type of person, again, right, they're problem solvers.
Yes.
The constant problem solvers. There might be a project manager. It might be a lot of these project managers could be engineers as well, right? And so, or supervisors, right? So whatever, it's kind of different roles in different sure. businesses. But they're problem solvers. They're the get shit done people, right? Yeah. That's what you want from a project manager. You want your project manager to get shit done.
Yeah.
Right. So he's going to go and do it. Right. The problem is they're not the type of person that's going to come back to the office and do the paperwork right. immediately. They're going to put it on the lock because they've got so much on their plate. They've got all these problems on their plates.
Yes.
And then you expect them to come back after hours and then do the change order immediately. He just doesn't have the time to do it. Right. That's what we see a lot over and over and over again. We see that particular problem. And it's not their skill set. I don't know how to do it in the proper way. And so the bottom line with your question is go and do the work, right? Mm-hmm. Get the instruction written, right? Okay, instruction to do the work and submit the change order that day or the next day. Or the notice. You probably have, there's a notice provision in the country. Submit the notice that day. I've been asked to do something, here's the change order. Now, with that leads to more problems. I can see people shuffling in their seats. I don't want to rock the boat here. I want to be seen as really easy to deal with.
Yeah.
Now, there's two different things you want to be, right? You can be a pushover and be easy to deal with, or they can respect you and think you're very professional, right? The latter is the way to go. And so how to do that is essentially you want to, like if you start midway through a project or towards the end, this is what typically happens, right? In a construction project, people do nothing. The first quarter of the project is all going really, really well. Everyone's happy. Yeah, we're doing stuff. Yeah, we're doing additional stuff. Oh, we'll get that change order in. Oh, yeah, it's all good. Then it goes on. And then in the last quarter, stuff's not getting paid, cash flow is really tight. You try and get all of these change orders in, and then they start rejecting left, right, and center. You're time barred. No, I don't agree with that. Right. So all everything, and then they get annoyed as well. And fair, because you've been this passive guy the whole way through the project, and then at the end you're just banging in all of this stuff, right? And now they're so from if you just put on their side, right, their project manager's hat.
Yeah,
his project is tracking it down lovely, right? All of a sudden, this subcontractor is going to increase the cost massively, and it could be delays, right? Yeah. Which makes him look bad.
Yeah.
However, if you that's the wrong way to do it. If the right way to do it is as the project goes from the very start, you start submitting notices and change orders and delays, like very quickly as they happen, right? They go, oh, these guys are switched on. They know what they're doing. This is what the big companies do, right? And then they just think you're super professional. They're switched on. They know about everything. They're really good at what they do. And what happens is your cash flow is better, which gives you breathing room. You're going to be making a bit more money, which is great, which means you can afford to do additional stuff, right? You might find yourself in a project where now they're asking you to do additional stuff, maybe get more guys on site, and you're already tight on cash flow. And you can't do the additional work. And they're like, we're asking you to do additional stuff and you're not doing it. And you're like, oh, I can't do it. I've got no cash flow. So it makes you end up looking worse and getting like a bad reputation.
I love what you said about thinking about it from the other project manager's standpoint. I mean, that's customer service 101 is make them the hero of the story, right?
Exactly.
If they're able to bring the change order back to the owner right away and say, you know, because this happened, this is going to increase the price. And that happens right the same day that it's talked about. Everybody knows that's the thing that happened. That's what created the change. And everybody's on the same page. They're going to look so much more professional in the eyes of the owner that they're building this for than they are if they have to shove in, you know, hundreds of thousands, $50,000 worth of change orders right at the end. They don't look professional either. And so you have to see they don't want that. They don't want to appear unprofessional in front of their owners.
And if you do it at the start, the amounts and as they happen, the amounts are smaller.
Yes.
Right. And so they're like, it's not too hard to get approved because it's we asked him to do this additional thing. Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, fair. It's just whatever, a certain amount of money.
Whereas, simply a psychological thing. It doesn't even look like that much money, even if it's the exact same amount at the end of the project, all told.
Exactly. 100%.
Yeah. I love it. What do you guys work with, a particular software? Are you sort of software agnostic? Is there anything that is a software come into it, or is it really just a one-on-one people thing?
Because it's a people business and it's a relationship business, right? So it is people, right? So obviously we have our own software internally. So when people submit all of this stuff to us, we can manage it and organize it in a specific way.
Perfect.
But the people side of it is a service, right? It's a service-based business. Now there's nuances in these things where if someone lets us know we have been delayed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have been delayed or we have had a change, but they're promising us all this additional work if we just go ahead and do it.
Right.
And say nothing.
Yeah.
Then we want to, because if it was software that just pumped it out.
Right.
Right. Which is, then it's, that goes away. And there's these little smart nuances that people want, like they want to make business decisions like that. So we'll prepare the paperwork and give it back to the PM. And we'll still empower the PM to make that decision. Okay, it's all done. It's all ready to go, right? We've done it all. But if you don't want to submit it because of something like this, right, then don't.
Yeah.
Right? Or do, right?
Yeah.
So we can have that conversation and jump on a call and be like, okay, well, let's just be real here. If they're going to give you an additional $2 million, $1 million worth of work on this other side, if you just eat this particular thing because you're making the project manager save face, might be a good could be a good investment. Let's talk about it, right? Or is he just full of shit and he just wants to cover his ass, right? You know, we'll hack those type of stuff and we go, from our experience, Here's what we think. And then that way they can make an informed decision.
I love that. I love that you guys are looking at it from all sides too. And you know, not just thinking in terms of like one project at a time, we're just going to mitigate risk. There could be all types of other factors that are coming into every single decision that needs to be made throughout the lifetime of the project. You know, I think when we first started talking, you were mentioning like we handle contracts and it seems like, okay, I think often in our minds, we think of contracts as sort of a one and done sort of thing, right? Like, okay, we got the contract, we negotiated, we marked it up with our red pen, right? We sent it back and that's great. But you guys are actually sort of handholding every step along the way throughout the whole project.
Yeah, and there's never just one contract, right? Because if you've got one contract and you got one job, right? Yeah. You're not a great construction business, right? So, but you're always bidding for work, or you're always creating relationships to get more work. And then you should be always, if you're as part of the bidding process, you're still getting contracts that you need to sign up for as part of the bid, right? So you're going to submit your price and they also give you the contract at that stage. So that stage, that's when you need to negotiate your contract. And you might win all of those.
Yeah.
Which is the expense. If you go to a lawyer and you're doing that for every single one, so let's just say you're doing four bids, two or three or bids a month, that's three or four contracts a month, right? Which could cost you $3,000 per contract, which costs you $9,000 in just reviewing contracts every single month.
Yeah.
Because that's what you or you can choose not to negotiate your contracts. And then you win that project. And then you go, oh, actually, now that I've won a project, now I want to negotiate it. And they're like, well, you agreed not to, right? So that's the kind of area that we help in.
Yeah. What do you think is like the number one reason that folks really get a lot of value out of using your services?
More cash flow, more margin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you started at the very beginning. It's that 5-15%. And that's really, like you said, in our world, and on the accounting side, cash flow is key, right? Like, if you do not have cash flow, we can't even make this thing go. There's no reason for us to even step in and try to help you understand what your books say. you won't pay us. We won't pay you. Cash flow is king. So I love that you guys are really helping to sort of guard subcontractors' cash flow. I think you and I have a similar passion in that regard, right? About this whole idea that everything, as you said earlier, it's all rolling downhill. That's exactly how life works. And the idea too, like, you can't not pay payroll. There are laws against that. And most of your material suppliers have a 30-day terms, or sometimes you have to pay, a point of sale. So there's just no way the subcontractor is just getting squeezed in the middle. And so I think this is such an important service.
Well, then if you think about it as well, and this is why this is a real bee in my bonnet, paid when paid is so unfair.
Yeah,
it is crazy unfair, because it's the same thing as not paying your employees. It's like saying to your employees, I'll pay you when I get paid. There's no difference, right? It's like treating a company as some sort of lower class citizen that we don't have to pay because we haven't got paid. And contractually, I also think it's bullshit, because I'm not in a contract with the client. I'm in a contract with you. And we have a contract where you said you would pay me if I do work. I don't care about your client. Right? That's your problem and your relationship and your cash flow. I'm not in your financial weeds. Right. So your financial health is not my problem. We have a deal for where you should pay me. And so in most countries in the world, Tanya, that's illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. Not here. Like I said, pay when paid is very often here. And then, as I said, in the contracts class I was sitting in just last week, they were talking about pay if paid, which is a whole other level of risk that I don't think any subcontractor should ever take on. There's a whole pay when paid. We can talk about that's a timing issue and whether it should be illegal. And I agree with you. Pay if paid, I think you should never, ever accept a pay if paid clause ever.
You have because, no control.
Yeah. Yeah. You've completely given up all control and just said basically, well, if the entire project goes downhill, I am taking on all that risk as the sub, the one who's actually physically doing the work.
Exactly. Exactly. And then the mistake mightn't be your fault.
Right.
Right. So the same game happens that I'm talking about. The same game happens at GC and client level, or GC and owner level.
Sure.
So if they didn't get their change order in, right? So but that shit flows uphill, right? So if they've asked you to do additional work, you got your change order in, that's approved, right? And then they are too late sending in their change order, and then that doesn't get approved. Then the pay if paid thing kicks in, where like, well, we didn't get paid for it, right?
Yeah.
Well, we were actually really slow on doing it, and we prepared bad documents, and so we're not going to pay you.
Yeah. No, and even, you know, here in Arizona, we had a big fight several years ago about this whole idea of transferring risk and what should be legal and should not be legal. So we do have some good laws on the books here in the state of Arizona around some of this and the transfer of risk. But, you know, not just like it's all flying uphill, but what if, you know, another subcontractor on the job has caused certain delays and different things are going on. Like, none of that should flow back down to you. If you've done your work, if you've performed the work, you should be able to be paid for the work that you've done.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you think about it, all of this stuff happens all the time in construction. People don't get paid for stuff. People don't get paid. But people dispute, okay, well, I asked you to do this thing and then that's exactly how I did it. And then whatever. Or the amount that you're asking to be paid might be wrong or incorrect. So this stuff happens all the time. So taking on the risk of other people doing the right thing and doing it properly, when we know that they don't, is a bad idea.
Yeah, no, 100% agreed. I just want to know how people can learn more about Quantum. Like, how can they find out more and learn more about your services and get hooked up with you?
So just go to quantumcontracts.com. And there's a video on there. And the video on there shows you how to grab back that 5 to 15%. So check out that video. Hopefully it's of value.
I love it. Thank you so much for talking with us today, Kian. It's been a really great conversation. Like I said, I think you and I are very much passionate about the same thing and about really helping these subcontractors learn how to play the game and elevate what they do. So I'm excited to see what comes of it and looking forward to talking with you more.
You too, Tanya.
Thanks, Kian.
Thank you for tuning in to Construction Junction. To find out more about the junction between accounting and construction, please email hello@theprofitconstructors.com.